What a blessing and a privilege it is to be together this morning to worship our God. I hope that you're fully engaged in enjoying this worship assembly together. As we think about getting to remember what our Lord and Savior has done for us, partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine, and the memorial of that wonderful sacrifice, being able to praise God in song together, and to be attentive and say the amen to that very thoughtful prayer that Jeff led us in. It's been a great experience thus far. And now we're going to look into His Word, God's Word, for a while together. And we pray that it will be uplifting for us as well. The gospel is for all, as that song just reminded us. Brother Wayne mentioned that Eastside has begun helping to support three additional gospel preachers on top of the 24 or 25, however many it is, that we're already helping throughout the world. These three men are men that I know personally. Their names are Clinton Chimiri, Kutakwashi Banguri, say that three times fast, and Shepherd Maviza. These are all really, really good men being supported hardly at all for and doing really great work in Africa. So we encourage your prayers on their behalf, and we're thankful for the blessings that God has given us. In our country of late, the issue of racism has received a lot of attention. And a question might come up, well, is one race really better than another? And the surprising answer is absolutely. One race is a lot better than another. And it is the chosen race that God speaks of in His Word in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The New King James Version reads, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And so here is being described for us in the Scriptures our status before God. We are, as the New King James and King James versions read, a chosen generation. The American Standard Version says you are an elect race. But several other standard translations, like the ESV and the New American and the Revised Standard, they say, but you are a chosen race. You are a chosen race. And so what God has done is He's taken from every nation and every race of men and made a special race, His own special people, who are called to glorify Him by their lives, to get to know Him intimately and personally in this world, and then to be with Him forever and ever in eternity. What a privilege it is to be a part of that chosen race. How did it come about? How did people come from every race to become a chosen race? Well, as the text says in 1 Peter, we were elect and chosen by God according to His foreknowledge. Peter writes this letter, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. He says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God." We've been elect, or chosen would be another word, according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, what that tells us is that this relationship that we have with God was not something that was just an accident of history, not something that just sort of happened, or even not something that God came up with as things went along and He realized, well, I really need to get my people out of, you know, the rest of the world. That's not how it was. God had in His mind long, long ago, before the foundation of the world, other passages will say, this idea that I'm going to have a specially chosen people from all of the people of the world, and this specially chosen people, they're going to be mine, and they're going to honor me and serve me, and I want them to be with me for all eternity. And I'm going to bring this chosen race, as we've already said, out of every nation under heaven. It was something that he foreknew, that he had in his mind long, long ago. And it was prophesied in a number of places in the Old Testament. But if you look in Isaiah chapter 2, in this well-known prophecy of the coming of the kingdom, Isaiah says, "It shall come to pass in the latter days," Isaiah 2 and verse 2, "that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." So here is God's house. Here are the people of God, and people are coming into the house of God. What does it say? All nations shall flow to it. Goes on to talk about how that from Jerusalem and Zion would go forth the law, this message of salvation, and the call to all nations to come into the house of God. When Jesus sent out his apostles, he sent that gospel to all nations. Luke 24 and verse 47, in Luke's recording or rendition of the commission that he gave to his apostles, that Jesus gave to his apostles, he said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Two things about that. First of all, it's at Jerusalem, which is exactly where Isaiah said it was going to happen. And secondly, it was a call to all nations. All nations. The Greek word, I know y'all love Greek lessons, the Greek word for nations in this passage is the word ethnos, from which we get our word ethnic. We talk about people of different ethnicities or different races. And Jesus told his apostles, you take the gospel, you preach repentance and remission of sins to all ethnicities, to every ethnic group. And really the same word is used in Matthew 28, in the Great Commission there, where he tells his apostles to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, every ethnos, all ethnicities. And so that's what the apostles did. And with the group that's gathered here this morning, I probably don't need to recount all of that. You go through the book of Acts, you see how that happened. First of all, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, as Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus instructs his apostles there. But all nations had the opportunity, were given the opportunity, are still being given the opportunity to be obedient to the faith. Listen to the words of Paul as he writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. And he says about Jesus that through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name. Apostleship, the idea of apostleship, an apostle is one who is sent with a message. And Paul is saying, I have received an apostleship. I have been sent with a message to all the nations. And the purpose of the message is obedience to the faith. That's for everybody, to be obedient to the faith. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Paul says to the Romans, you Romans. And there were a lot of different ethnic groups among the folks in Rome. It was a very cosmopolitan city. And yet, Paul says about them, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. You're all called to be holy ones. And so, that's basically the plan of God in his mind and then unfolding in human history through prophecy, through the commission of Jesus Christ, and through the actions of the apostles. The consequence of all of that is going to be, friends and brethren, that if we are part of this chosen race that God foreknew before time began, that someday we will stand before His throne and sing His praises with men and women from every nation under heaven. The blood of Jesus redeemed people of all nations. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, they sing in heaven a new song. And they say, "You are worthy to take the scroll," talking about Jesus Christ, "and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation." And in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, John sees it. He sees it clearly. He's given that view into heaven itself before the throne of God. He says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Let me be crystal clear, folks. If we're not dead set on taking the gospel to all the nations, whatever the color of the skin or the language they speak, we're not the chosen race. Because the chosen race is from every nation under heaven. And if we cannot worship and fellowship people from worship with and fellowship people from different parts of the world, of different races, of different skin colors, who speak different languages, we're not the chosen race. There's been a lot going on in our nation concerning race. A lot of it, quite frankly, that's just, I think, distraction created by Satan. Has really nothing to do with how we're going to operate as God's chosen race. Because how we're going to operate is we're going to love everybody. We're going to take the gospel to everybody. And we're going to try with everything we've got, with every fiber of our being, to bring those of every nation into this wonderful fellowship so that one day we may all stand before the throne of God. This race, chosen from all races, is the race of the redeemed, if you wanted to give it a name. It's a race that's accepted by God to dwell with Him eternally. And your appearance or your previous condition is wholly inconsequential. I read a story about a middle-aged couple lived on the East Coast during the Korean War, the Korean conflict, as some would call it. And their son was in Korea in the armed services. They hadn't heard from him in a while, and one day they got a phone call, and it was him. And he was calling from San Francisco. He was on his way back home. They couldn't believe it. And he's talking to his mom on the phone, and he says, "Mom, I've got a buddy I want to bring with me home, and I want him to live with us. He's been injured. He's been hurt pretty bad. He only has one eye and one arm and one leg, but I'd sure like him to come and live with us." And his mom said, "Well, sure, he can come stay with us for a while." He said, no, I want him to come live with us from now on." And she said, "Well, why don't we just try it for 6 months and see how it works out? Maybe then he could get a place of his own." And her son said, "No, we've got to take him in." And she finally said, "Son, you're not being realistic about this. You're just emotional because you've been in the war, and that boy's going to drag us down, and he's going to be a constant problem for all of us. You just need to be reasonable." And her son hung up on her. And the next day they got a phone call from San Francisco saying that their son had committed suicide And when they shipped the body back east to the east and the parents went to collect it, they looked at their son, of course, who had lost an eye and an arm and a leg. What does it feel like, you think, to have someone who's supposed to love you not accept you? There are two lessons here for us. One is that we, the chosen race, are to love all nations. How do you think they feel? All nations, people of every race. If we don't love them, if we refuse to accept them. But the other lesson is that God is a wonderful parent, and He has made us accepted through Jesus Christ, no matter who we are. I invite you to go in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Paul is talking about exactly this when he says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 that He chose us, God chose us in Him. That is, God chose us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. God has accepted us, even me with all my sins. And the way He's done that is those sins have been washed away through the blood of Jesus. And He's made me pure and holy in His sight. This was His plan all along so that He could adopt me as a child. And I could be part of the chosen race, the household of God. Now, most all of that, I think, surely anybody who's a Christian here, if you don't feel that way, at least you know you should feel that way. But I want to go a little bit further this morning and think about the behavior of the chosen race. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. And notice in this text, very much some of these same themes being brought up. Paul says in Titus 2 and verse 14 that Jesus, he says, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed. And that's what we're just talking about. He redeems us from every lawless deed. Remember the people who are praising God in heaven, they were redeemed out of every nation, but they were redeemed out of every nation. So He's redeemed us. He's purified for Himself a special people, zealous of good works. And then Paul says to Titus, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Speak what things? Well, the very things he said in verse 14. God, through Christ, has redeemed us. He's purified us. And so we are His own special people. We are a chosen race. One of the more unfortunate chapter divisions in the Bible occurs right here. You know, those chapter divisions were put in by men. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the connection between the last verse of Titus chapter 2 and the first verses of Titus chapter 3. But we need to think about it. Because Titus chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 says, Remind them to be subject to rulers. Who's the them? Who's the them? the special people, right? The chosen race. That's who. So remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So if you are a member of this special people, this chosen race, the redeemed from all nations, what is your behavior to be? Paul says it's this. You are to behave in certain ways. You are, first of all, to respect and obey rulers. People of the chosen race, respect and obey rulers, including terrible rulers like the Emperor Nero and most all of the Caesars who lived and reigned during the time that the New Testament was written. I don't much care, or doesn't much matter, maybe I should say, how you feel about the job that President Trump is doing, or the job that President Barack Obama did, or presidents going back in time, whatever. Your responsibility as a member of the chosen race is to respect and obey them. Because you're the chosen race. Your responsibility is to be ready for every good work. If you skip on down in Titus and you look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul will talk a little bit more about this idea of good works. He says, Titus 3 and verse 8, avoid foolish disputes. I'm sorry. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying. These things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are profitable to men. And so the chosen race, what the chosen race is involved in, is doing good. Spending our time doing good. Paul will write to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6, do good to all men. That would be all races, right? All nations. Especially those of the household of faith. We occupy ourselves in doing good. There's a lot that's going on in the news that ain't good. It's not good. Don't get involved in that. It's not good. Spend your time in doing good. Doing good. Speak evil of no one. You got that? People in the chosen race don't speak evil of others. Speak evil of no one. You know, about half of what's been on Facebook this last week wouldn't have been on there. People have been following that one. Speak evil of no one. Be peaceable, gentle. In fact, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Are you doing that? Let your gentleness be known to all men. And show humility. Now, as I'm talking this morning and we're looking at these scriptures, I think some of which are somewhat convicting to us in a lot of different ways, aside from sort of the racial thing that I've introduced, but many other areas these principles need to be applied. Whether you're talking about the workplace, your home, in schools, you think about respecting and obeying rulers, doing good works all of the time, not speaking evil of anyone, being peaceable and gentle, being humble. Probably most of us, if we really start looking at our lives, we're going to see that we have not always acted like the chosen race. So where can you apply this? You have to see it. You have to see it in your life. And probably there might be at least some who are sitting here who are thinking, really, when it comes down to it, I'm pretty much a miserable failure at all that. Paul Faulkner, who's a member of the church and a counselor, tells of a man that he knew who set out to adopt a very troubled young lady, a teenager. And they were in the process of adoption. And yet a lot of his friends, this man's friends, sort of questioned his logic. The girl was very destructive. She was disobedient. She was dishonest. She was sort of determined to be this way. She thought that it was just her destiny to be that kind of human being. And so she was living that out. And one day she came home from school and she just ransacked the whole house. She was looking for money. She took all the money she could find and she left the house a complete mess and she ran away. And the man's friends told him, you need to give up on her. She doesn't appreciate what you're doing for her. Just let her go. After all, she's not really your daughter. And the man told his friends in response, he said, yeah, but I told her she was. So if she'll come back, I'll take her back. Kind of reminds you of the story of the prodigal son, doesn't it? The prodigal son hadn't done very well either. Hadn't respected his father, hadn't acted like the special person that he was. The father took him back. Right now, this morning, the father will take you back too. There's someone here this morning that needs to repent. Because you've not been acting like one of the specially chosen race of God. Won't you do that? God loves you. We're not worthy to be adopted as His children, but He did it anyway. Let's act like it. And if we're not acting like it, let's start. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.